Hello, everyone. This is Dave Burke. We are back on the Dave Burke Podcast. Hope everyone's having a great day. Here we are, August 9th, 2019, and football keeps creeping up. Did you watch any of the NFL preseason games last night? Yeah, I know they don't mean nothing, but you can still watch, get a little bit of that taste of football as we get close and closer to the start of real action at the high school, college, and pro levels in the coming weeks. On this episode of the Dave Burke Podcast, we're going to talk high school football. We're also going to talk college football. High school football-wise, I'm looking at five teams in Division I Southwest Ohio that I feel have big storylines to talk about. And then we're going to talk college. We're going to look at two teams at the college level. The Pitt Panthers, head coach Pat Narduzzi, got his team to the ACC championship game last year. But will they have a chance to do that again this year? And then we're going to talk West Virginia Mountaineers, the Big 12 new head coach in Neil Brown. But we're going to be joined, not only are you going to get my thoughts on the West Virginia Mountaineers, we're going to be joined by longtime reporter of the Mountaineers, Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com, someone I've known for a long time. So stay tuned after this word from our sponsor, First Star Logistics.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.
All right, everybody. Dave Burke here. Let's get episode two underway. We're going to start off Ohio high school football, especially Southwest Ohio Division I. Five teams to talk about with unique storylines heading into the season that I feel had to be talked about. First team, Princeton. The Princeton Vikings last season, 3-7. But does that really tell you much about this team? No, because you got to keep in mind, they had to forfeit three games. They should have been 3-1 instead of 0-4. And I think what stung the most was that mindset. And then they go out and they have losses to Fairfield, Lakota West, and Mason. And head coach Mike Daniels, he has got some talent. We wrote about it a couple years ago with the talent they have. Darian Henry, an Ohio State pledge, anchoring your defensive line. You've got a defensive end, linebacker, in Jaheim Thomas, who's staying home to play for the UC Bearcats, and Luke Fickell. And then all of a sudden, late in the spring, you start getting word that the number one player in the state of Ohio in the recruiting rankings, Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle who was at St. Xavier High School, is headed to Princeton to play his senior year because he wants to graduate early to get to Ohio State. And all of a sudden you go, wow, they got some major talent. But they weren't done, because next thing you know, LaSalle quarterback MJ Horton makes the decision he's headed to Princeton. And then all of a sudden you got to go, okay, this team has a lot of talent. How is it going to perform on the field? So that's going to put a lot of eyes on the Princeton Vikings. And I feel that's why we picked them as one of the teams with a unique storyline heading in to the Ohio high school football season. The second team we want to talk about, Lakota West. The Firebirds may have made the biggest move in pulling Tom Bolden away from Greater Miami Conference rival Colerain. Bolden is a proven winner, looking to move the Firebirds over that hump after they finished 4-6 last season. And we visited with Tom Bolden back in the spring, and he is super excited with the talent he's seen since taking over the job. And you look at that talent. David Jones Jr., a linebacker, senior, another Cincinnati Bearcat pledge. And he's also got senior running back David Afari, who'll be a future Miami Redhawk. And then you start looking at, you know, the type of year Afari could have, because Bolden's going to run the football. That's going to give this young man a lot of chances to maybe show the talent. Maybe those out there who don't know him aren't even talking about as one of the top prospects in the region. But it's the young players that has Bolden super excited when you sit there and you look at running back Aiden Miller. And one of the top prospects. A couple years ago, we talked about Darian Henry, who's at Princeton, as being a top prospect. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. Tigray Tishbola, offensive lineman, who will be a sophomore for the Lakota West Firebirds, is the next big player to come out of the region. And then you also add in, you have David Afari's younger brother, who's a safety, maybe grows into a linebacker in Alex Afari. And it's going to be interesting to see how fast Bolden can have the Firebirds running on all cylinders. And we're going to know early because they get tested really early with a game against LaSalle on the road. And like I said, when you look at storylines, all you have to do is look at what Lakota West did and pulling away one of the area's top coaches from one of the top programs in Tom Bolden. Speaking of Colerain, it's another team to watch as the Cardinals didn't stray too far when they made their coaching hire. And just like they had done when Kerry Combs left for the University of Cincinnati and keeping Tom Bolden in-house, they stayed in-house with defensive coordinator Sean Cutright for their new head coach. And the Cardinals have always been blessed with talent, and we don't expect that to change. Last year's team, 14-1 with their lone loss coming in the state title game, but they lost a lot of talent. Gone is the backbone of that team and quarterback Deontay Smith-Moore, the running back J.J. Davis, linebacker Luke Bolden, and the Mr. Do Everything, one of the top players in the state of Ohio, in my opinion, Ivan Pace Jr. Those are just a few names of what they lost. Add in the fact that the schedule is not kind, with three of their first four games matching up against the likes of Huber Heights Wayne to open the season, then followed by games against St. Xavier and Princeton on the road in week four. Cardinals have a long history of having the talent. We talked about that. Right now, the top player to be watching, another Cincinnati Bearcat pledge in Deshaun Pace, who will be leading the way. Now, middle of summer, kind of shockwaves in Southwest Ohio, especially defensive one, come from Huber Heights Wayne. The Warriors head coach at the time, Jay Mitten, forced out after his athletic director's job was kind of, he was pushed out of that and forced to resign. In stepping away from that job, he made the choice a short time later to step away from the head coaching job of the Wayne Warriors, a position he's had since prior to the 1998 season. What's sad about this is Jay Mitten made the Wayne Warrior program into one of those programs that you knew year in and year out was going to compete. 16 trips to the playoffs, 4 trips to the Division I state championship game. And while they never won the big game, to get there 4 times in that time frame says a lot about what Mitten had done with the Warriors program. Just like Colerain, though, Wayne didn't stray too far as they hired Roosevelt Mukes to take over the program. Mukes is a former Warrior player, having played there in the early and mid-80s before he went on to the University of Cincinnati, where he had a great career. And he's been at Wayne ever since, working as a coach for the Warriors. But they're going to be tested early again. We talked about they're going to play Colerain in week one. Then they're going to follow road games Olentangy Liberty and Trotwood Madison before they get to come home, and they'll face always a tough Springboro team by another former Wayne coach in Ryan Wilhite. So you got to keep an eye on what's going to happen at Huber Heights this season, because we felt they overachieved as a team a year ago, and we're going to see how they do putting together the pieces under Coach Mukes. And the final team we got to talk about, the St. Xavier Bombers. Last season, they squeezed into the playoffs with a 5-5 record. But unlike the 2016 season, Steve Speck couldn't get that postseason magic going, and they fell in the first round to Colerain. As we talked about before, losing one of the top players in Paris Johnson Jr. would be tragic for many programs. However, there is always, always players in the hallways of Greater Catholic League schools that we don't even know about until they get their chance to get on the field. Offensive line-wise, you're going to be fine. You've got Jack Kirby, who's committed to Penn, will be anchoring the offensive line. But they did lose more than Paris Johnson Jr. They lost to graduation the likes of Jared Kreimer and Chris Payne on offense and Thomas Kiesling on defense. The other thing we learned late in the summer was last year's starting quarterback, Wyatt Huitipol, made the decision to concentrate fully on his baseball future. And that opens up the possibility for a player we saw this summer who excelled at camps to get his chance by being patient. And that's going to be senior quarterback Matthew Reavy. Now, several programs was impressed with what Reavy showed him in the summer camps. We're talking about a 6'4", almost 6'5", 190-pound quarterback who's athletic, can run. Now he's got to put on film so college coaches have something to really look at after having limited reps a year ago. But he's got some players to play with. We mentioned Kirby, but he's also got Northwestern tight end pledge Marshall Lang, who will provide a big target. And then you add in top junior prospect Liam Clifford, and you've got some stuff there you work with offensively. On defense, Tucker Hundley returns, but keep an eye on linebackers senior Noah Taylor and TJ O'Malley. Now, outside of their three games in the Greater Catholic League, the Bombers will have to play teams from outside the area. They're only playing two other Ohio teams, Colerain and Ignatius, with the rest of their schedule being made up of teams from Indiana, Kentucky, and even Canada. So there's a look at the five storylines going into Southwest Ohio Division I that we feel keep an eye on.
Here at First Start, we recognize that our employees and their commitment are what drive our success. Our management and training team really invests in our employees. We give each person the tools and support they need, provide them access to an unsaturated customer base, and help them achieve the successful career they envision. At First Start, we take care of our employees. With double the commission rates of our competitors and a flexible career path, we hope you'll come be a part of it. Opportunity
knocking. You are listening to the Dave Burke Podcast, and we're talking college football. We're going to look at teams going forward, and today we've got a couple teams we're going to talk about. The first one I want to talk about is the Pitt Panthers, led by head coach Pat Narduzzi. Last season, the Panthers went 7-7. I felt their biggest win a year ago came in overtime against Syracuse, but their biggest loss came early in the season, a 51-6 loss to Penn State. That lost some bragging rights in the state and allowed Penn State head coach James Franklin to take a couple shots. And knowing Pat Narduzzi the way I do, I guarantee you he's not forgetting those shots that were taken, and he's looking for this year's squad to punch and fight back. So Narduzzi is no surprise. He's going to stay close to his roots. He's going to build his team around defense. And while the teams he's had so far at Pitt have not been on the same level as his Michigan State defenses, Narduzzi expects the squad to have a better start under defensive coordinator Randy Bates, who enters his second year as the coordinator. Now, if the defense has a poor start, look for Narduzzi to take more control of the defense, and we wouldn't be surprised to see him make a change at coordinator if the Panthers don't turn around defense. They cannot have this defense get off to a slow start as they did a year ago. Now, Narduzzi didn't waste any time making some changes on offense after last season. He gets a new offensive coordinator in Mark Whipple. Whipple brings NFL experience along with college head coaching and college coordinator experience with him. And he'll have to build up the confidence of quarterback Kenny Pickett for the Panthers offense to have some success. They've got to find replacements at running back, and they've got to hope that the offensive line shows improvement, especially in pass protection. Now, the Panthers will open the season at home against Virginia in an ACC contest, and they cannot afford that game to be a slow start. They've got to get out of the block quickly, and that if they're going to have any chance of getting back to the ACC championship game like they did a year ago. Now, I don't think anyone's expecting the Panthers to get to the ACC championship game. But for them to have success, they've got to win 6-7 games and get to a bowl, and they can regain some in-state bragging rights if they can beat Penn State. Now, we're going to be back to talk about our second team right down the highway from Pitt, the West Virginia Mountaineers, in just a moment. You're back on the Dave Burke Podcast. We're talking college football. Second team we're going to preview in this podcast, the West Virginia Mountaineers, who come into the season with a new head coach in Neil Brown. Last season, the Mountaineers went 8-4, but head coach Dana Holgorsen bolted after the season for the job at Houston. Last season, I felt the biggest win for them was against Texas, a 42-41 win, but I felt their biggest loss was in their season finale against Oklahoma, where they lost 56-59. This season, biggest home game, Texas, October 5th, and biggest road game, Oklahoma, October 19th. And you look at this hire of Neil Brown, I feel is very solid because I felt Dana Holgorsen had kind of worn out his welcome. However, Brown's going to have to find some offensive firepower because they lost some players in quarterback Will Grier, wide receiver David Sills. For Grier, Brown would look at two transfers and former Oklahoma grad transfer Austin Kendall and Miami transfer Jack Allison. And while there's some depth questions along the offensive line, they do have a couple solid players, I feel, in junior Josh Sills, who many is considered to be a future NFL player, and another guy who's really developed who has a chance to really extend his game and also play on Sundays, and Colton McKivitz, who decided to return for his senior year, and that should help his draft stock if he can have a solid year. Over on defense, gone is the 3-3-5 stack that we've been seeing all the way back to the Rich Rodriguez days. Vic Coeing comes in as the defensive coordinator, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does. But the loss of David Long is big, and while it may not be as big of a loss as what they had on offense, it's still going to be some changes. And that's going to be what we talk to our guest right after this. We're going to be able to learn more about this Mountaineer team. Now, I feel this Mountaineer team, for the season to be a success, they've got to have seven games win, get to a bowl game. Mountaineer fans love their bowl games. So they got to get to a bowl game. The schedule has, you know, several tough games. October is murderous when you look at back-to-back home games against Texas and Iowa State before hitting the road against Oklahoma and Baylor. So not an easy October by any stretch of the imagination. And that brings us to our guest. We're going to bring in a guy that I feel is one of the authorities when we're talking West Virginia Mountaineer football and West Virginia Mountaineer athletics, Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com. So we'll have that interview right after this with Kevin Kinder. Welcome back to the Dave Burke Podcast. I spoke about the West Virginia Mountaineers, and it's easy for me to sit there and say, I know a little bit about West Virginia football, but my next guest knows a hell of a lot more than I do. I'm bringing in Kevin Kinder, Blue Gold News, who, Kevin, I've got to say, 20 plus years of you covering West Virginia University athletics, Blue Gold News, Greg Hunter, you're talking 30 plus years. To me, when it came to WVU, you guys were the authority. If it wasn't coming from Greg Hunter or Kevin Kinder, I didn't want to read it. So, Kevin, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the Dave Burke Podcast.
Hey, certainly appreciate the kind words. Like you said, Greg got this started a good while ago. And actually, the first year he started, West Virginia went undefeated in football. So that was kind of a really good beginning, really encouraging beginning for that. And from there, it's taken off. We've had a lot of fun and appreciate being on your podcast.
Well, let's talk about a lot of change in Morgantown because a new head coach, Dana Holgorsen, while he did leave on his own, it kind of seemed like he'd wear it out as welcome, and in comes Neil Brown, the new head coach for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, the first part of that, it really was a good move for both Dana Holgorsen and West Virginia. It was pretty obvious that West Virginia was not going to retain him after another year. If he had stayed for this year, he could have finished this year. But after that, barring some huge result, which given the roster and everything, we weren't expecting, he was going to be gone. But West Virginia really hit a big, I feel like, with Neil Brown. You know, he had been up for a couple of other head coaching jobs at Kansas State had talked to him. Kind of a mystery, really, why he hadn't been hired, but that worked out great for West Virginia. I think he's a really good hire, a really good fit. He's from Kentucky, you know, so he knows the region. You know, he's an Appalachian guy. It just kind of fits all the way around. You know, we're going to see what the results are going to be. It's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding process this year, but I feel like it just couldn't have been worked out too much better for WVU.
One of the first things I noticed from Coach Brown was he had no problem putting out there, hey, if you played here, this is your home. We want you here. And I can say, as most people know, my brother played at West Virginia for Don Nealon and Rich Rodriguez. And I can say my brother won't come out and say it, but I could kind of from our conversations, I don't think he ever felt really welcomed back for many, many years. And, I'm hoping that he takes the time to go back to Morgantown and makes some visits going forward. But is that the approach Coach Brown's taking with former players?
That definitely is. You know, that's one of the ways that he's trying to reshape and rebuild this program. And I'm not going to say that, you know, the previous coaching staff or regime discouraged players from coming back, but like you said, there wasn't that outlook or that outreach. There wasn't that welcoming feel. And that kind of goes along with Neil Brown's whole approach. One of the other things he's done is done a ton of team building exercises, competitions over the summer. They've all taken turns, position groups coming out to his house for cookouts, shooting basketball. They've had Olympics, you know, things to kind of break up the summer, but also promote that team unity that you need to build a really solid program. Those are two of the things that he's focused on a great deal since he came on board.
Last season, the Mountaineers went 8-4, but down the stretch really struggled. And I'm sitting here looking at this schedule, you know, and last year you say, and you can either agree with me or tell me differently, biggest win was Texas, biggest loss, Oklahoma in the season final. This year looks like the biggest game at home is going to be Texas, with the biggest road game being Oklahoma, and the month of October is a killer for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, looking at last year, the Oklahoma loss was disappointing, but it wasn't like that was unexpected. The one that really stuck everybody at West Virginia was Oklahoma State. Mountaineers had a 17-point lead at halftime. If they win that game, they go to the Big 12 championship game, no matter what they do against Oklahoma the following week. So, you know, yeah, that Oklahoma game was tough, losing that one by 3 points, you know, to a team that goes on and obviously competes well the rest of the year. But this year, it's a different story. I don't know if West Virginia fans are looking so much at big games this year as just more interest in how Neil Brown begins to rebuild the program. If West Virginia lost a ton of offensive talent, the running backs are going to be good, but everything else kind of went out the door. Same thing, some of the top players on defense. You're not wrong in, you know, listening to that Texas game at home as a big game, but some of the other ones, the NC State game as an out-of-conference game, that's a game West Virginia needs to win, you know, if it wants to have any hopes of going to a bowl game this year. Some of the other ones, Oklahoma State coming in, maybe Iowa State, again, the teams it's expected to compete with, like Kansas State. Those are the ones that are going to be critical that I think you're going to tell the story of how far this year's team can go.
You talked about the losses on offense. How do you replace a quarterback like Will Grier, wide receiver like David Sills? I mean, I when I look at what is left of this team, I look at the offensive line and see, okay, I don't know if there's depth there, but there seems to be some solid players when you look at Colton McKivitz and especially Josh Sills, who I feel has an NFL future if he can stay healthy. But man, who's going to take Greer's place?
Yeah, I mean, you don't replace players like that. I mean, you know that, as you've seen that, as programs have turned over. You try to develop guys and hope you find some through recruiting and guys come on and improve, but it's just very rare when you plug in other players that are as good as the guys you mentioned, guys like Tavon Wesco and Gary Jennings that are also in the NFL now. You just can't replace all of them. West Virginia is going to lean on its running backs on offense. There are four quality running backs that are going to get carries this year. They're going to incorporate them in the passing game. They're going to try to move them around a little bit, get them some favorable matchups. But you're right. The question is the offensive line. Can they get five quality guys? That's been the focus for them in the spring and fall. I really think that one's going to be a wait and see. at quarterback. Austin Kendall came in as a transfer from Oklahoma. Everyone wants to hand him the job. But Neil Brown has not named a starting quarterback yet. Jack Allison, that started the bowl game last year when Will Greer opted not to play in it, is still competing, as is Trey Lowe, who is more of a run-pass guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of those guys play this year, especially early on. Just doesn't seem like there's been a whole lot of separation so far during fall camp.
Does the schedule allow Coach Brown to have some time to kind of mess with guys, you know, and kind of see who fits? Because, yeah, you have the season opener against James Madison, but then you play Missouri at Missouri, and as you mentioned, North Carolina State. And then you close out September with Kansas, which who knows what Les Miles is going to have on his roster. But like I said, October, Texas, Iowa State, at Oklahoma, and at Baylor. Doesn't leave much time to do any experimenting.
It doesn't. There are a couple things in there I'd add. I mean, James Madison is no cake opener either. They're picked to be their first or second in FCS this year. So they have a ton of players back. If West Virginia isn't ready to play, it could lose that game. I think one of the things we're going to see is something that Neil Brown did at Troy with Sean Reagan, his quarterback's coach, and that was another player, another quarterback, would play a little bit in those early games, not necessarily as a, you know, as an experience getter, but as a change of pace, as something else, you know, that the opposing team had to prepare for, maybe a little bit of a different look. And maybe you build some on that experience out of there, but you're right. There aren't really any, hey, we can throw some guys out there and win this game just because we're really good for West Virginia this year. Last year they could do that. This year, as you point out, the schedule, the personnel just doesn't set up that way.
We're talking with Kevin Kender, BlueGoldNews.com, the authority of West Virginia athletics. And, you know, we talked about those offensive losses, on defense losses as well, especially David Long. But the biggest change that I see, you know, is the fact that a new defensive coordinator is coming in, and are the Mountaineers finally going to get rid of the 3-3-5 stack defensive scheme that they've run for all the way back to the Rich Rodriguez days?
Yes, this is a different scheme, and I'm guessing your next question might be what that defense is going to look like. And it is really the biggest hybrid of anything that you can imagine. It's got elements of a 3-3-5. It has elements of a 3-4. You can run it as a 4-3. It's really a variable, changing type of defense. Three down linemen with their hands on the ground, and three hybrid players that are either mixes of linebackers and safeties, maybe a linebacker defensive end, a safety corner type, that make it difficult for opposing teams to scheme against them. That's what Neil Brown did at Troy with Vic Caning. That's what helped fuel their wins over LSU and over Nebraska. Watched the video a couple of times of those games, and they could just never figure out a good way to attack it. So, yeah, it's a different look. It's still a look based on those, you know, kind of hybrid players that are mixes of the conventional linebackers, conventional safeties, rush ends, guys like that. And, of course, whenever you do that, that's a lot of teaching, a lot of different things to learn, a lot of slotting guys into different positions. So I feel like West Virginia will be much better at this on November 1st than they are on August 31st when they open against James Madison. But like you said, we're starting to count down to the season. So how quickly they can get that installed, that's going to have a lot of effect on how they do in September and October.
Kevin, I had the Mountaineers for a successful season. You got to win 7 games and make a bowl. Mountaineer fans, they love their bowl games. They love to go and support the blue and gold. You know, is that right? If Neil Brown can get this team to a 7-win season and a bowl game, would that be considered a success? Because, as I said before, this is not an easy schedule by no means.
Oh, absolutely not. And the personnel losses and teaching a new system, offense is going to be similar, but the defense is definitely going to be different. For me, looking at it realistically, 6 wins is a successful season and make a little bowl game. Absolutely. Just so many changes. And it's a culture change, too, because Neil Brown is a detail-oriented, focus on fundamentals, focus, you know, on the techniques that you've got to do to be successful. It's just you know, everything's different around the Mountaineer Football Complex. I would take six wins right now in that bowl game in a heartbeat. And like you said, it's going to be difficult. I think the big key, those first three non-conference games. West Virginia can beat James Madison, maybe beat NC State at home. I think that Missouri trip is obviously going to be tough. But get a couple wins, then it has a chance to do something in the Big 12. But if it gets off to a tougher start, that's going to be a very tough goal to achieve, I think.
Again, we've been talking with Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com, the authority, I believe, of Mountaineer Athletics. And Kevin, camp's early. I know you're getting into, you know, the first week and a half of camp. Any players that fans maybe not don't know about that they should be looking for on the offense and defensive side of the ball?
A lot of them are transfers, which Neil Brown, you know, will take a few transfers this year. I think he's taken more than what he's wanted. One from Michigan, Reuben Jones, defensive lineman. WVU lost three stalwart defensive linemen from a year ago, had to rebuild that group a little bit, like several other groups. So, you know, he's a guy that can come in that they think can help immediately, help rebuild some of that depth, get a little bit of the pass for us going, hopefully. Offensively, a couple of transfers at wide receiver. Again, these guys aren't going to replace David Sills and Gary Jennings, but maybe bump it back up some. Sean Ryan from Temple is a player that not a lot of people know about, but a quality receiver, and George Campbell, who came from Florida State. Both of those guys have been looking pretty good in the early parts of camp. And those are the kinds of questions that West Virginia has to have a yes answer to. You know, those guys, like you said, they've got to come on. They've got to play effectively in order for the Mountaineers to get those six or seven wins.
Before we close out, Kevin, we've got to talk recruiting. That's the bloodline of every program that plays college football. The change to Coach Brown, how has that changed recruiting, and how do you feel he did when he came in and the class he built for, you know, the 2019 class, and how is the 2020 class coming along at this time?
Sure. I think he did a really good job in holding on to the players that were already recruited. He admitted that that put them behind a little bit because he, like most coaches, are now recruiting even further and further ahead. So, you know, when West Virginia was trying to hold on to the guys in this year's class, or the 19 class, they were already, you know, wanted to be recruiting the 20 class and to some extent the 21. So I think he did a good job and got some guys and added some of these transfers that, you know, I don't see how he could have done much better. As far as the changes, it's going to change areas a little bit. West Virginia's going to look more in Alabama and in the South. He has some coaches that are familiar with there, obviously, from his days at Troy. He's going to recruit in Kentucky a little bit more. But it's still the Pennsylvania, Ohio. Pick the best guys out of West Virginia if they can get them. Still the New Jersey area. Still some of the traditional grounds, but maybe shifting a little bit more to some of the southern areas. And one of the other things he's going to do is he is truly going to recruit the West Virginia. I mean, you know, the previous coaching staff made some noise about that, but they didn't really do it. They lost a couple of linemen that West Virginia really should get. And Neil Brown actually made a late push for a couple of those guys. And one of them said, hey, if this guy had been here all the time, I would have gone to West Virginia. So I think in future years, he's going to do better in West Virginia. They're going to get the top level guys. That's his focus right now.
And I have to ask, games, we sit there and look at the schedule, missing the names of some classic battles, Pitt, you know, Virginia Tech, even Marshall brought some excitement here and there in games between the Mountaineers. Down the future, I mean, what's the outlook as far as the Backyard Brawl coming back or the games over at Virginia Tech?
Those games are back on the schedule. West Virginia in the future has home and homes with Pitt, with Penn State, with Virginia Tech, and it's going to keep trying to schedule those regional games as attractive non-conference games. They'll probably still play one FCS opponent a year because you can't totally load yourself up, but West Virginia has those schools on the schedule, has Florida State on there, that they're going to play Florida State actually in the opener next year. So, yeah, Mountaineer fans that, you know, want to harken back to the past a little bit. And sure, those rivalries were always really good. They're going to see those teams coming back on the schedule. The one that you won't see is Marshall. Just too much acrimony, too much difference of opinion there and how that would work. That's the one that's not going to happen. But all those other schools you mentioned, throw Maryland in there, teams like that, you're going to see them in future seasons.
We've been talking with Kevin Kender, BlueGoldNews.com, the authority on West Virginia athletics. Kevin, cannot thank you enough. I know you're a very busy man, especially this time of year, for taking the time and being with us.
Hey, man, never too busy to talk Mountaineer football, and certainly never too busy to visit with you and the Burks. Definitely say hello to your brother for us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Kevin Kender, BlueAndGoldNews.com, who covers the West Virginia Mountaineers. Stay tuned for more on the Dave Burke Podcast. Episode 2 of the Dave Burke Podcast is in the books. We want to thank Kevin Kender, BlueGoldNews.com, for all his information on the West Virginia Mountaineers. You can do two things here if you'd like to help this podcast. One, listen. Two, put it out there. Let people know that, hey, I found the Dave Burke Podcast. It has some interesting information. You should take a listen. Three, you can become a monthly supporter by giving a monthly donation, as little as 99 cents to $5, $10. You tell us. But you can also be part of the podcast. Below our description, you'll find a tab where it allows you to leave me a voice message. Messages can only be about a minute long. We ask you try to keep it clean, but hey, if we like it, we're going to use it on the podcast. So again, thank you for everyone listening to our first episode. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dave Burke Podcast, and we look forward to recording many more as we go ahead.